It's really good to be back home, and I just want to thank everyone for your prayers and for your support, the gift to the children, flowers to my wife, and so on. Appreciate it very much. This morning, the title of the message is Why This Waste? It's found in Matthew 26. We live in what you could say is a wasteful society. I'm somewhat baffled by the amount of household garbage that accumulates in our garage at home when I do the weekly or the bi-weekly trip to the dump. There are huge companies that make a living just on dealing with waste. If you take a look at some of the statistics of waste on a global scale, it's mind-boggling. But no matter what, simply because we live in an imperfect world and things decay and things get old, there's always waste. According to Global Waste Management Outlook, every year across the globe, more than 2 billion tons of municipal solid waste is generated. If packed into standard shipping containers and placed end-to-end, this waste would wrap around the Earth's equator 25 times or further than traveling to the moon and back. That's pretty astounding. And if you go by regions, North America does not have the most waste. It comes in second to East and Southeast Asia. North America has just over 300 million tons per day, while East and Southeast Asia have close to 600 million tons per day. But a couple interesting facts about that is, while North America does not appear as bad, it is much worse when you look at it per capita. North America wastes almost 2.5 kilograms a day per person, while East and Southeast Asia are just over 0.5 kilogram per day per person. Another interesting fact is that the wealthier a region is, the more collection there is. So that would explain why when you go to, say, Central America or some other third world country, it looks like they are way more wasteful. While really it's just due to poor containment. It's uncontrolled, more pollution, less recycling, and so on. After reading an article about global waste, the huge scale of waste, and the detriments it can have on society, and planet Earth for that matter, it did me a lot of good to consider how am I doing with being a good steward for God. But most of you probably know me well enough that I'm nowhere close to being an environmentalist, and I err more on being a wasteful person than a saving person. These facts were more just for interest's sake, and take what you wish from them. However, God does expect us to be good stewards of the earth and with the things on the earth. It was one of the first things he told man after creation to dress and keep it. Now, you may be thinking by the title of the message, Why This Waste, and by my introduction, that I'm going to be talking about stewardship, like don't be wasteful. Well, not directly, and if you can remember or guess when this question was asked in the Bible, and as we think about the context of this question and the feelings behind this question, you will know that there's a lot more to it than that. This woman was accused of wasting something of value for little or to no good purpose. What is waste? Well, we looked at the most common one. It really amounts to something that is discarded, that has no purpose anymore. Like I said earlier, there's almost always some form of waste because of the decline in the world. The world is wearing out. But mankind in general, and even more specifically in North America, tends to be wasteful, hence the huge amounts of waste. And that, defined by Webster's, is an act or instance of using or expending something carelessly, extravagantly, or to no purpose. Let's read this passage, Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. So why this waste? Let's go back and start from the beginning and follow through with what Mary really did. This same story in the Gospel of John identifies this woman as Mary, which would have been the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Remember the other times it talks about her and her love for Jesus. She took being a follower of Jesus seriously. True dedication. Some would say she had a better understanding of what was about to take place. We do not know that, and actually I would tend to disagree with that simply because she was human. However, her close relationship with Jesus and her dedication to him allowed her to be used in a very powerful way. She did not forget what all Jesus had done for them. Lazarus was raised to life. Simon the leper was healed. And it would make sense that Simon was her father. I think she saw and sensed to some extent the weight that Jesus was carrying. Close friends pick up on that kind of thing. She was very close to Jesus, and she could tell that what he was carrying was no small deal. She did not understand at the moment how she was preparing Jesus for burial, which was the greatest sacrifice ever for mankind. She did not know that in this humbling act of service, that this story would be written down in Scripture, and that in the years to come, she would be admired and respected as a role model for a servant of Christ. This ointment it talks about was worth 300 denarii. One denarii was considered a daily wage, so with a six-day work week, this was equal to a year's wages. How much do we make in a year? Obviously, it varies some, but in British Columbia, the median yearly wage is about $81,000. Low would be around the $50,000, and high would be considered $150,000. Would you blow $81,000 for Jesus on something that seemingly wafted into the air and disappeared? Something that caused everyone to raise their eyebrows and say, "What a waste." Usually when I hear that said to me, it's because I really did make a bad choice, bad move. Or I realize that myself after it's too late and say, "What a waste." What are we willing to give for Jesus? The same account in Mark 14, it says that she broke the box and poured the ointment on his head. There are different views on what the breaking of the alabaster box could mean. Some think it was done to open it, and it actually didn't destroy the box. Like, it was a normal way to open it. However, I think there is a valuable lesson in the fact that it was broken and rendered unusable, and all of it was dispensed. You know, we like to think of ourselves as sacrificing people who will give a couple squirts of the perfume and call that good enough. It's very expensive and valuable. And we are giving something of value. Maybe we give 10% or half or maybe even all of it. But then we keep the alabaster box and we put it up on the shelf to remind ourselves of our sacrifice, and we take pride in it. And maybe even remind others of what we have done. Mary was all in for Jesus. There was no turning back. It was all of the perfume and the alabaster box with it. She withheld nothing. This was the best way Mary could express her faith in her Lord. How else does it have meaning if it isn't personal and comes from the heart? The most valuable things to us are what we keep and what make up our life, what our lives revolve around. Could it be that we aren't really all out for Jesus and there are other things in our life that receive precedence over serving him? How often do we even see someone that is willing to give it all? Let alone ourselves. And that really is the important question. We're always concerned about the other people. Mary was a sincere one, and yet she was a quiet one. Am I sincere? Have we given up our most precious things? We often ask that question. Are we willing to give up our most precious things? And that question is so relative. It's so easy to say we are willing, and completely another thing to do it. Think of all the important things we have. You could let your mind go down over the list. I have a few here. Husbands, we have our wives. Wives, you have your husbands. Children, family, extended family, friends, jobs, homes, properties, hobbies, automobiles. Maybe we have a boat, sled, snowboards, and I only got started on the things that we have. According to one statistic, the average American home has about 300,000 items. I found that a bit hard to believe, but I started counting from where I was sitting when I read that statistic, and just in one glass face cupboard, I could count over 50 dishes, and that was barely getting started. I suppose it includes every small Lego, all the things in storage, and just so many things we probably forget that we even have. At any rate, we have a lot of things. Rather than seeing us sacrifice things for God, I think that we end up getting more and more. And so then actually sacrificing a thing or two for God might not even be that big a deal. But what if it comes down to our family? What if it came down to our wife versus Jesus Christ? We can hardly fathom that. We don't even understand what that would be like. That would go against all of our human reasonings. We are to love and protect and provide. But some believers have had to do that. They had to walk that road. They had to choose Christ and trust their families to their good shepherd. Would we sell our business? Selling it isn't even giving it up, because we get something earthly in return. Could we quit our job, even if it's our dream job and the job of a lifetime? Could we give up our big homes? What if the government confiscated our properties? You know, sometimes we have things come into our life that we seemingly have no choice about. We lose something. Maybe we lose our health or a loved one, freedoms, or other countless blessings. Maybe we call them sacrifices we had to make in life. A true sacrifice is a choice. We choose to give up something for the cause of Christ. It's not something that just happens and we have to live with it. What is Christ asking of you? What is he asking of me? We must hold nothing back, even if it cost us our life. I have a story of Thomas Hawkes. He gave his life as a martyr in 1555. I'll read that here. Thomas Hawkes came from a respectable family in England, serving as a page at the court of the King Edward VI. He was known as a handsome young man with gentle manners. When he became of age, he entered the service of the Lord of Oxford, where he remained for some time, being liked by all the household. When King Edward died, religion changed, and the Protestants began to be in danger. Rather than change his faith, he left his position with the Lord of Oxford and went back to his own home. Having married well in Oxford, a son was born to him not long after he returned home. He did not want the child baptized by a Catholic priest, and so he put off the baptism for 3 weeks. His enemies, on hearing this, had him brought before the magistrate, charged with being unsound in religion. After a hearing, he was sent to London and tried before the Bishop of London, who, after being unable to get Hawkes to recant his faith, placed him as a prisoner in the gatehouse of Westminster. During Hawkes' imprisonment, various plans were tried to make him recant, but all proved useless. Thomas's constant answer to all who spoke to him on the subject was, "I'm no changeling." When responding to the Bishop of London, who urged him to give up his faith, he said, "No, my lord, that I will not, for if I had 100 bodies, I would suffer them all to be torn in pieces rather than I will abjure and recant." Unable to get him to recant, they passed the awful sentence of death upon him. To this he firmly replied that he would rather suffer death than renounce his faith in the gospel. While in prison, waiting till he be taken to the stake, Hawkes was allowed to see his friends. Several of them asked him if it would be possible for him to give them some token to show that a man could suffer the fire without despairing. Hawkes promised, by the help of God, to show them that the most terrible torments could be endured in the glorious cause of Christ and his gospel, the comforts of which were able to lift the believing soul above all the injuries men could inflict. It was agreed between them that if the pains of burning were bearable, the martyr should lift up his hands toward heaven before he died as a signal to his friends. On April 10, 1555, Thomas was led to the place of execution, where he mildly and patiently prepared himself for the fire. Being fastened to the stake with a strong chain about his middle, he addressed the multitude of onlookers, including his accusers, pointing out the sin and dreadful consequences of shedding innocent blood. After Hawkes had made a prayer, pouring out his soul unto God, the flames were kindled around him and soon blazed with such fierceness that his speech could not be heard by the flames' intensity. As the fire burned a long time, his skin was drawn together and his fingers were consumed, and having not moved, the people thought him dead. Suddenly, and contrary to all expectation, Thomas, mindful of the promise he had made to his friends, raised his hands still burning with flames high above his head, and as if in ecstasy of joy, clapped them together three times. A great shout followed this wonderful circumstance, and then this blessed martyr of Christ, sinking down to the fire, gave up his spirit. How can we really struggle with giving up even just a few of the excessive things that we have? Do we really know what it means to give it all? God's view and the Christian's view on the things of this world are different from the views of those who don't know God or who aren't sincerely following Christ. Even God's people and their view on earthly things can be dimmed or blurred at times, and we need the help of God to see the kingdom view. We may initially see something as a waste or something that just plain makes no sense, but God has a purpose in it, a powerful purpose. I don't want to be too hard on the disciples because I have, and I'm sure we all have questioned God about some things already. The disciples were followers of Jesus, after all, and Jesus had to show them that they were wrong, that there was a powerful meaning and purpose behind this seeming waste of perfume. It takes love for Jesus, love at all cost. How much of our life does it take? Well, really, it takes more than just a year out of our life. It's a lifetime commitment to Christ. I suppose if we have love and commitment to Christ, sacrifice is a given. It is going to cost us something. And quite frankly, if we are committed to Christ, it is going to cost us a lot. We don't get just to use common sense. We need to follow the Spirit and direction of God, no matter the cost. Also, this woman here saw an opportunity, and she took it. She did it from her heart, the best she had and the best she knew how. Maybe it feels like your gifts, talents, or what you have at your disposal just don't seem to make a powerful difference. Maybe others will question your sacrifice to God as waste. Has that ever happened to you? Here was the disciples questioning this. The Gospel of John says that it was Judas who voiced this, and very likely, in the passage today it says the disciples. So very likely in the freedoms that we experience in North America and the lives that we live, that this is where a lot of the pressures and challenges come from for us, right in the Christian circle. Possibly in our own brotherhood, God forbid, but maybe more from broader Christian circles, and yes, of course, from the world. Satan will try to use anyone and anything. He will try to use us, especially when we feel that we would never be the ones to cause others to be discouraged. How does it look in your life and in the brotherhood you are a part of? More specifically, each of us personally, because we are the ones that make this brotherhood up. All of us tend to be the first to point fingers and say, why this waste, rather than take a look at ourselves. Certainly, there are better ways to use your talents or money. Church life should be meaningful and powerful. Young people, you know there are folks that would say you are wasting the prime of your life. Go out and have some fun. Why would you be part of a church that would restrict you? Go to college and get an important degree that could change the world. Do something important with your life. Maybe you are really questioning where you are in life. We all go through that time. That pressure I was talking about among the circle of believers, youth, you feel that, I'm sure. Adults, you might still feel that. What are the answers to some of these questions and pressures we face? The fact is, these pressures are real, and they will always be pressures. We can only imagine how this woman felt in the midst of this group. It appears she may have been the only one, or the only woman, in the circle, or at least greatly outnumbered. Martha was serving. Nonetheless, Mary here was the center of attention and the topic of discussion. What caused her to do this, and how was she okay with it? Are we okay with being the odd one? There was no hiding this act of service and love to Jesus. If she could have managed to do it quietly and out of sight, the expensive aroma still would not have been missed. We can't hide our love and service to Jesus. It may seem insignificant and make no sense to human reasonings, but when we allow God to lead us and we do what he asked, and whatever it costs, it has powerful and far-reaching rewards. We don't care who sees us, or at least we don't let it deter us from following our passion for Christ. Luke 12, verse 33. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags that wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Philippians 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Mary did this for Jesus. No, not as the disciples thought it should have been done, but she did it from the heart, unashamedly, and for the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, what were the disciples doing to show their loyalty and love for Jesus? They had a lot of growing to do. Weren't they all going to be guilty very soon of following afar off when Jesus was taken to trial and crucified? Judas himself betrayed Jesus. Peter denied him. Matthew 7, verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Romans 14, verse 3, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. True love gives of itself all that one is and has. Mary gives a powerful example of giving much and giving sacrificially. What really made the difference is that it was from the heart. We can give huge gifts and so on, but they can be empty and worthless. Mary obviously did this for no benefit to herself. It was all for her master, true sacrifice. There's a place for common sense, but there's a greater place for sacrifice. Too often we do not want our easy living or wealth to be touched. As one person put it, we allow money and the power to purchase to become the object and judge of life. And I think that rationale affects our judgment on others, and it also affects us. We ourselves trying to justify that we have given enough while others haven't done it right or haven't given enough. We need to have an open-hearted sacrifice for whatever and wherever. This anointing that Mary did for Jesus was a grasping of opportunity. Jesus would soon be gone. Even after his death and resurrection, he was going to ascend to heaven. Her chance to do this for him in person was now. We need to grasp the opportunities now. Our life is short, and even if our life is for many years yet, we have no guarantee that some of the missed opportunities will ever be opportunities again. John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why this waste? Maybe we won't hear someone ask us this question in those exact words, and hopefully we aren't accused of being extravagant and wasteful with the things God gave us. That's not godly. Preparing for this message has been very thought-provoking for me, and I feel that I've failed in so many ways. But I was challenged and inspired, and I was thinking of the influential people in my life who I know had kingdom view. And I really believe they were, and they still are, sold out for Christ. I still remember wondering why my dad gave away, I believe it was 15 acres of land or so. It's something I never hear him talking about. He did it because he believed it was the right thing to do. Some people literally thought he was crazy. I remember that part. I remember that land transfer title person, whatever his name was, said, he's crazy. It was during that time and following for a while that it was some of the hardest financial times that I remember. And it would have been an easy win in court. Why did he do it? I believe he had kingdom view. He probably did it for us. I also am always challenged by an older deacon brother from where I grew up who tirelessly gave and gave. And a local community man with whom we shared acquaintance said this of him, Sam would be a millionaire if he wouldn't give so much away. The things we do, the things we purchase, the things we let go, from the eternal perspective and for the cause of Christ are really what count? That question will be answered soon enough for those who doubt, and it will be obvious that the seeming waste was eternally valuable if we keep on living lives of sacrifice for Jesus. I want to close with a quoted prayer from John Wesley. "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will, put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven." Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you haven't given up on us and that you are there for us. Lord, help us to be serious about serving you and to hold things of value in this world as nothing. Help us to give everything up for you, wherever you call us, whatever you ask of us. Pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us here this morning. Bless us with a good week. Help us to be faithful to you. Be with those who are struggling, whatever it may be, health, spiritually. Lord, pray for those who couldn't be here this morning. Give them a special blessing as well. We thank you for health and strength and for this brotherhood. We pray in Jesus' name.